most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six places to send people who tire of the parks. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 33 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of August 9th, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into the topic for today, please stick around until the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. If you're listening to this show, it's probably because you love the fun, the excitement, the order, the technology, well, just the magic of Disney parks. That said, I would bet that there may be some folks listening who have other people in their lives who occasionally tire of the Disney parks. Maybe they're not as big a fan as you are, or maybe they just need an occasional break. The good news is they don't call it Walt Disney World for nothing, and there are plenty of great places on property that are outside the parks to visit. Today, we're going to take a look at the top six places to send people who tire of the parks. And to help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who has been known to occasionally check out the fun of Disney outside the parks, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I am looking forward to our topic today. I think a lot of people only envision the parks when they hear Walt Disney World, but there truly is a world of other things to do outside the parks, and I'm looking forward to exploring those things today.
Absolutely, yeah. There's like you said, a lot of people may not realize how much there is, so I think this would be good for everyone to learn some of the other things that the area has to offer.
Good. Well, as always, we have the beloved warm-up question. It's easy. Are you ready?
Yes.
With Jack Sparrow or without Jack Sparrow?
Huh. Wow. You know, that I don't know if I have an easy answer for that one. From a nostalgia standpoint, I would say no Jack Sparrow. You know, keep things classic and keep the characters out of the ride and just have it be the way it always has been. But at the same time, I feel they did a really, really good job implementing him. I'm actually a huge fan of the movies. And, you know, I've seen all of them several times. But I'll admit, when they first said that they were going to put him into the ride, I was a little nervous that they were going to turn the whole ride into the movies and kind of destroy the classic feel of it. But they really did a great job. It's subtle. I do feel that in some of the scenes, it's very obvious that he's a far more advanced animatronic than the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all these great movements, and they're still very stiff, but that's just a technology thing. So I don't know. I really don't know if I have an answer for this one, just because I like Jack Sparrow. I think they did a great job putting him in without sacrificing the fun of the ride. But, you know, nostalgia, obviously, no. But, you know, I think I'm going to say yes in this one. I think I'm okay with Jack Sparrow being in the ride.
Oh, all right, good. I like where you ended up. So I think I would vote the same way. So we're, of course, talking about Pirates of the Caribbean and how Disney added the Jack Sparrow character from the movies back into the attraction. And I have to say that my take on this has changed a little bit over time. So just like you said, in voting for nostalgia, I will almost always do that. I just like how things were. That it gives me warm, fuzzy feelings. And when I first heard about Disney deciding to put Jack Sparrow into the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction in the parks, I had a little bit mixed reactions. I usually will trust Disney. They're good at what they do. They know what they're doing. But I just thought, how is this going to work? And then when I first saw the animatronic in the attraction, I had the same sort of thought that you did, that it looks very different. It's much more advanced. It's much more lifelike. It doesn't have that caricature sort of a look to it. And I wasn't so sure if I liked that because it was so different. But in the end, I think the character is really well done. The technology, the art behind those new animatronics, I think are very interesting. And it just sort of seems like the circle of life comes to show itself in Pirates of the Caribbean, where attraction sponsors movie, which impacts attraction. And I think that was very interesting. And I also think it was well done. So it still honored the story of Pirates of the Caribbean. And it wasn't, I'd hate to say commercial, because of course everything is commercial, but it was done in a way that made sense, I guess, is what I would say. So
I agree.
Yeah, in the end, I would be with Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, you know, I think it is an example of the incorporation of a character done right, where they put him in there and didn't really change the story of the ride at all. They added a couple lines here and there, but it all fit really well, and it in some scenes it actually kind of brought the scene together, you know, added to the story a little bit, you know, and kind of brought it together. But it is just a really, really nice implementation of the character. So I think they did a great job.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Okay, that was a good warm-up question. All right, so we're ready to jump in. Top six places to send people who tire of the parks. And Aaron, we are over to you for number one.
So number one for me is an area where there's a ton to do if you really take the time to wander around and find it, and that is Downtown Disney. Downtown Disney has shopping, it has restaurants, it has entertainment, and there's really kind of something for everybody there. And even if you're there and you maybe aren't going to the parks, which has happened to me on occasion where I've been in the area and just haven't had the time or the money to get into the parks, because Downtown Disney parking's free, you can walk right in, there's no tickets or anything like that. You know, you still get a little bit of the Disney magic without going into the parks. And you can wander around with a lot of different shops, and there's uniquely Disney shops, like World of Disney, Once Upon a Toy, stuff like that. There's a lot of shops, there's clothing, there's sunglasses, so there's a lot of different shops for a lot of different tastes. There's some great restaurants, both quick service and table service. There's, you know, some bars if going out in the evening and having a few drinks is your thing. There's entertainment, if you want to go bowling, there's Splitsville. There's the AMC movie theater. There's even Lanuba, the Cirque du Soleil show, if you want to, you know, catch a show. So there really is a wide variety of things to do there. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. So, and it's a little different than wandering around the theme park.
I think that's a great suggestion. And I would put that as number one on the list as well. There are so many different things to do there. Just like you mentioned, if you're into shopping, if you enjoy eating, if you want to have an adult beverage, if you're looking for entertainment that ranges from, you know, live music to bowling to movies, you can do it there. So if you're looking for a break from the parks, if you have someone who just needs some time to do some different things, I think Downtown Disney is great. I'm also excited about what's coming with Downtown Disney and its transformation over to Disney Springs. So here, as we sit here in the summer of 2015, Downtown Disney hasn't quite yet been rebranded and is a maze of construction walls. But when it's done and is rechristened as Disney Springs, I think it's going to be better than ever. I think some of the new locations that are coming are tremendous. There are going to be more options than there ever have been. And so there's going to even be more to explore and love about Downtown Disney than there has been in the past.
I haven't had a chance to get there since they started unveiling some of the new shops. I am excited to get there eventually and see this new superhero shop that they opened.
Yeah, that's a neat one.
Yeah, I'm hoping to check that out sooner or later. I know they're in the process of revamping the Planet Hollywood restaurant and actually theming it more, instead of just being its own thing, they're actually theming it more to fit with the Disney Springs motif. So if you want to go, you know, grab a burger and have a beer or something like that, that's actually going to be themed very uniquely for that chain of restaurants. There really is just, there's the Lego store. There's even, if you want to go up in a, you know, in the hot air balloon and kind of get the look from above, they rent some of the speedboats and stuff like that. There's a lot to do at Downtown Disney.
Yeah, for sure. And I think as part of the remake, they've done a lot to not just create new offerings, which is important, but also to tie the story together a little bit more and to help with things like parking and crowd flow, which were, you know, always sort of difficult. And those things are hard during the construction period, but I think there's going to be a huge payback when it's done. So if folks haven't visited Downtown Disney in the past and then they visit after the transformation to Disney Springs, I think they're just going to be floored with how many options there are and how great it's going to be.
Plus, there's Ghirardelli, so you can get ice cream.
Exactly. You know, we always have to get either chocolate or ice cream into each episode. And so that's the way to do it. So, all right, cool. Downtown Disney, I think that deserves its place as number one on our list. Number two, back over to me. So places to send people who tire of the parks. I am going to head to one of many different places that it could be. It could be contemporary, it could be 50s, it could be Polynesian, and of course I'm referring to the Disney resorts. I think checking out the resorts and all they have to offer is a great alternative and a great break from the parks. One of my favorite things to do is go resort hopping on the Magic Kingdom monorail loop. So you can have a chance to walk over to the Contemporary, check out the Grand Canyon Concourse, walk to the backside of the property that overlooks the lake. It's peaceful. Then hop on the monorail, head over to the Polynesian. The grounds there are beautiful. It's an easy place to stop and get a Dole Whip. And then you can head over to the Grand Floridian and just enjoy the splendor that it has to offer, including a live orchestra in the evenings and just absolutely beautiful grounds and beautiful views. And that's just three of the 20-plus resorts. Each of those resorts, yeah, you can stop and just enjoy all the theming, check out the property, stop and get something to eat or drink. I think the Disney resorts are attractions unto themselves. And of course, they're all free to get into. So that would be a place I would send someone who needs a break from the parks.
I agree. And like you said, there's some gorgeous properties. I mean, the Animal Kingdom Lodge, just walking into the lobby of that building is amazing. And it's just a testament to the theming and the construction and all that. Definitely cool to go check that out. Fort Wilderness is obviously a very different style, so it's a lot of fun. It can be time consuming. It can be better part of a day once you get the buses and the ferries and all that into account. But if you want to just kind of spend some time seeing all the different styles, it's really cool.
Yeah, and that is a good consideration that. It's going to take a little bit of time to do this sort of thing, so I wouldn't plan for 15 minutes and think you're going to hop over from the Magic Kingdom and take in everything that the Polynesian Village Resort has to offer. It takes a little bit of time to get there. These are very big properties, and so it may take a little bit of time to get around. But if you have the time, if you're looking for the break, doing some resort hopping, a great way to spend some time.
I will toss in, too, since you mentioned the Polynesian, that if you happen to swing by there in the evening, you can not only catch the electric water pageant if it's running, you can actually see the Magic Kingdom fireworks from the beach. If you are resort hopping and you catch, and you time it right, you can actually go to the Polynesian, maybe grab dinner, maybe grab a drink at Trader Sam's, wander on down on the grounds to the beach and catch the water pageant and the fireworks.
Yeah, that is a nice way to spend an evening and maybe save a day of park tickets. I think the beach from the Polynesian Village Resort is one of the best places to see the fireworks. You can see it from the Grand Floridian as well, although things are a little bit off-center if you're over there. I recently just discovered that you can go to the stairwell terraces in the Contemporary Resort and get sort of an elevated view of the fireworks in the Magic Kingdom. But as far as sort of a straight-on view that frames things the way that they probably should be, I think the Polynesian's hard to beat.
Plus, it's just a gorgeous property at night with the tiki torches and everything like that. It's really cool.
I agree. I think there are maybe five or six different additional podcasts in there and just the things we talked about with resort hopping and views and fireworks and activities. So much to do there. Okay, good. Well, that was number two, so we're on number three, Aaron, and we're back over to you.
Number three, there's two options for this on Disney property, and that is miniature golf. There actually is regular golf as well. There's some, my understanding, amazing courses. But personally, if it doesn't have dinosaurs and windmills and stuff like that in it, I'm not interested.
Right.
I'm going to stick with miniature golf.
Yeah.
And there's two. There's Fantasia Gardens and the Winter Summerland, I believe it's called. They're both themed, and they're a fun way to spend, you know, an hour or so. We did the Fantasia Gardens when we were there a couple years ago, and the whole place is themed after the movie Fantasia. So each hole has, you know, the dancing hippos, or the mushrooms, and there's interactive elements. Things are moving. There's water. There's projections. You go through one of the holes is actually through a cave, and there's projections of Chernabog, the demon king, up on her. The Mickey Mouse hole, Sorcerer Mickey hole, is one of the hardest mini golf holes I've ever encountered. But it's a lot of fun, and it's just a great way. You know, it's not going to take more than an hour or so to play through, but it can be a nice, relaxing, different thing to do.
Yeah, I think the two miniature golf courses that Disney offers is a great suggestion. I think a lot of folks don't know they're out there, or they're not sure how to get to these places. So Fantasia Gardens is not too far from the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. And the Winter Summerland is not too far from Blizzard Beach, and nice synergy there with the winter theme. So I think these are great options for people who want to break from the park.
Yeah, I'll admit that actually when we went, we had a hard time finding Fantasia Gardens and ended up having to ask cast members how to get there. But we ended up taking a boat from Hollywood Studios to the Swan and Dolphin, and then walking across the street from there. So it ended up being kind of a nice trip. But like you said, they are a little off the beaten path.
Yep. Yep. Which is maybe not such a bad thing. They might be overwhelmed otherwise, but I think they're a lot of fun for something to do outside of the parks.
The upside to that is that they can be a little quieter, especially depending on when you go and, you know, the time of day and the time of year. We went in May, and the parks weren't super busy when we went. And when we were there at Fantasia Gardens, there's only one of the family playing through as well. So it was quiet. We could take our time, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good. I like it. Miniature golf. That was number three. So number four is back over to me, and I am going to go to Disney's Boardwalk. So I'm going to have to admit that I didn't know very much about Disney's Boardwalk until the past few years. It's located not too far from World Showcase in Epcot, and I guess in a sense you could consider it a sister to Downtown Disney. So it's got a number of shops and restaurants and a few entertainment options. But the theming is really very different than what you're going to see in Downtown Disney or Disney Springs. So it represents a boardwalk like you might see in the Northeast. In the evening, there is live entertainment, which is a lot of fun. And there are plenty of restaurants and shops and just fun. You can rent a Surrey bike and take it around the big loop. You can just go for a walk and enjoy the water. You could take a boat over to the International Gateway entrance to Epcot. The restaurants there are a lot of fun. There's an ESPN location. There is actually a microbrewery right there on Disney property, on Disney's Boardwalk. So if you've seen Downtown Disney and you enjoy it, you're looking for maybe something similar but different, Disney's Boardwalk, I think, is a great option. So many things there. Weiland Gallery, too. Fun to look at some of the artwork that's available there. Look, don't touch. It's kind of expensive. I wouldn't want to break it and have to buy it. But Disney's Boardwalk, I think, is fun.
And if you're over 21, if everyone in your group is over 21, Jelly Rolls is a dueling pianos bar, which is supposed to be a lot of fun and kind of different, something you don't really see a whole lot of. So some unique entertainment there.
Yeah, yep. Yep. And I think Disney's Boardwalk is often overlooked. It may suffer from the same problem as miniature golf, where people aren't quite sure how to get to it, or they just don't go by it, so they're not sure. So if you are staying at one of the Epcot area resorts, so the Boardwalk Resort, the Yacht and Beach Club, you're right there. But if you're not in one of those resorts, you may not have seen or heard very much about the Boardwalk. It's worth seeking out, though. Just like the miniature golf is worth seeking out, Disney's Boardwalk also worth seeking out. Okay, good. Number four. So number five, Aaron, back to you.
So this is something that my wife and I did on our honeymoon when we were there a couple years ago. And it's something that I had never known was offered until we started looking for other things to do on property. And that is out at Fort Wilderness, and we took a horseback ride. They give you a whole big safety explanation. And it's about a 45 minutes walk through this gorgeous wooded nature trail area. They have cast members with you, obviously. And it's very quiet, very peaceful, very scenic. It's fun to ride a horse, and you get kind of the basics of how to do that. And it's something different. It's something that you wouldn't really think of doing when you're in this this world of rides and roller coasters and all these things. But it was really kind of a nice way to spend an afternoon.
Yeah, it's fun. I think that's another one of those hidden gems, something people don't know about. If you're at Disney's Fort Wilderness, it's definitely worth checking out. Go back and check out the barns where the horses are kept. And some of the horses are just massive and beautiful. It's fun to see them. There's a place where you can do a pony ride for little kids that meet certain, I think it's height or maybe age restrictions. I was going to do a horseback riding once, and I realized you have to have closed toe shoes. I only had sandals on. Yeah. So for folks who are interested in a horseback ride, make sure you've got the right clothes. And you may even need long pants. I don't remember that part, but definitely closed toe shoes.
No, you don't, because I wore shorts.
Oh, okay.
Check online when you make your reservation, because obviously they have on there, and you can always call or email and ask. I'm thinking back now to the pictures. I don't close toe shoes thing, but I do remember that I was wearing shorts. But it was a lot of fun, and it's not something that I had ever done. I had never ridden a horse before, and so it was very different for me. And like I said, the trail was absolutely beautiful. And it's so isolated. It's actually, you forget that you're kind of at Walt Disney World at all, because you get so used to the kind of the hustle and bustle and traffic and movement that being out in the middle of nowhere in the woods isolated was a very different experience than what you'd expect, but was a very nice kind of grounding. Eos On was a bit of a trouble. It was like you said, a very, very big horse.
Yeah.
The one that I was on was named Dash, and he had been one of the parade horses in the Magic Kingdom parade. He was playing. He's a white horse playing Maximus, the horse from the movie Tangled. It's a big, gorgeous white horse that was definitely very opinionated about who was in charge, and he would listen to me and follow my commands, but he just push a little bit, see what he could get away with, which made for actually a pretty entertaining experience for me.
That's cool. And it's interesting to know his previous acting experience as well. Okay, good. Horseback riding number five. So number six comes back over to me. So I am going to do something relaxing, and I'm going to suggest a Disney spa. So there are actually a number of different spas on Disney property. The ones that are branded with the Disney name are called Disney Senses. There's one, for example, at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. There is also the Mandara Spa at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. And so if you're looking to get the kinks out, a spa is a great place to do it. It can be kind of expensive to visit a spa on Walt Disney World property, but extremely relaxing, very high quality experience. I had a chance to visit the Mandara Spa not too long ago. It has a really interesting design. I'm not sure if it's Thailand or something like that, but just the design of it, very, very interesting. And this is where I need to give a shameless plug. My wife, Monica, is a licensed massage therapist. She runs Rosewood Holistic Health in Celebration, Florida, right next door to Walt Disney World. And she's really good. I'm not saying that just because she's my wife. So if you are interested in checking out Celebration, the town that Disney designed, and getting a spa, give Monica a call. Or check out the Senses Spas or the Mandara Spa on property.
Cool. No, that's... we were talking before the recording. I personally can't sit still that long, but it can be a very relaxing thing for people, and a nice way to, especially if you've been running around the parks for a couple of days and in the heat and the noise and the crowds, you know, it's a nice way to get some relaxation.
Yeah, agree. It can do wonders for tight shoulders and tired feet.
Yeah.
All right, good. So, top six places to send people who are tired of the parks. Number one, Downtown Disney. Number two, do some resort hopping. Number three, check out the two miniature golf courses. Number four, visit Disney's Boardwalk, especially in the evening. Number five, take a horseback ride at Disney's Fort Wilderness. Or number six, check out the spas. All right, fun list. So, Aaron, tell us, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, if they want to check out my blog, they can head on over to magicandmisadventures.com. And that's really just, it's a blog about Walt Disney World, and it's kind of all over the map in terms of the topics. Sometimes I'm talking about news. Sometimes I'm revealing secrets of attractions. I just did one recently all about the Haunted Mansion Interactive Queue. Sometimes I'm kind of ranting and raving, sometimes I'm offering trip advice. I did one recently, well, a few months ago now, about decorating Magic Bands. My wife and I decorated our Magic Bands and posted a whole big explanation of what we did, how we did it. Also, if they go to Magic and Misadventures, they'll find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
Okay, very good. MagicandMisadventures.com. It is one of my favorite Disney fan sites. You do a great job with it.
Thanks.
All right, Aaron, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
We've made it through the list to the top six places to send people who tire of the parks, but our conversation isn't over. I'd love to hear what you think about the list. Maybe you've got a different idea or something you'd like to add. You can do that. Visit the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/33 or worldofwalt.com/outsidetheparks. Both of those links go to the same place, and it works great for tablets, desktops, and smartphones. Leave your comment in the comments section and check out what other folks think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me, like Lois, who wrote, "Love your articles. They are very informative." Thanks, Lois. I'd love to hear from you, too. It's easy to get in touch with me. Let me know what you think or just stop by and say hi. You can drop an email to me at info@worldofwalt.com. Leave a voicemail message at 407-391-5023 or an online voicemail message for me, worldofwalt.com/voicemail. I'm also on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, I would really appreciate it if you would rate and review it on iTunes. You can get easy to follow directions on how to do just that at worldofwalt.com/iTunes. If you thought today's podcast was a stinker, then, well, no need to rate it on iTunes. I'd like to invite you to enter a very special contest that's open to the people who listen to the podcast and visit the show notes page. Again, head over to that show notes page at worldofwalt.com/33, and there you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on the page, and it's my way of saying thanks for listening. To wrap up today, I would like to give you a huge thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can find interesting Disney articles, enter sweepstakes for great Disney prizes, and chat with other folks in the Disney forums and comment section. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is pretty cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.